1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Let's take a look at the prayer life of our Lord Jesus when he was on the earth and the significance thereof. Now, before we begin, I want to encourage you to realize that prayer, what is prayer? It's communion or communing with God in its simplest definition. You're communicating with God according to his word if you're doing it correctly, and he's communicating as he does in his word to us and answering those prayers as he sees fit. Now, those who earnestly seek God in prayer, who earnestly seek to know him and to fulfill his will for their temporary lives in this world, will glorify him here and they will be with him eternally. Now, concerning the prayer life of our Lord Jesus while he was on the earth, someone has noted that Jesus went from prayer closet to prayer closet, and in between, he raised the dead and opened blinded eyes and healed the sick and made people whole. Now, especially in the book of Luke, tracing and tracking the prayer life of Jesus is an incredible life lesson. So here we go, saints. What can we learn from the prayer life of our Lord Jesus? One writer notes the following, and it's based on Luke 5:16, which says, "And he, Jesus, withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." So we do see Jesus withdrawing himself here in Luke 5:16. Also, Mark 1:35, Jesus rose up a great while before day, and he departed into a solitary place to pray, right? Mark 1:35, let me read that. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." Solitary meaning uninhabited, all alone. Is it that what the Lord taught us to do in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6? Then when he was teaching on prayer, he said, "But thou, when thou prayest," here's what you do. "Enter into your closet." In other words, go where no one else can hear you, no other man, where you're communing in private with God. And again, this is Matthew 6:6, which should be a staple in the life of every disciple. "But thou, when thou prayest," Jesus said, "enter into thy closet." And that doesn't mean a physical closet so much as a place that's uninhabited by others. "And when thou hast shut thy door," in other words, seal yourself off from all others, "pray," or commune in prayer, "to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which is in secret, shall reward thee openly." Okay, so one commentator notes the following about this truth of Jesus' prayer life, where he separates himself from all men and communes with the Father in prayer. So the prayers of Jesus, he says, Luke stresses more than the other Gospels the place of prayer in the life and work of Jesus. When the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus at the Jordan, that would be Luke 3, he was praying. Jesus was praying when the Holy Spirit descended upon him as he was water baptized. At times, he withdrew from the multitudes and prayed, and he continued all night in prayer before choosing his 12 disciples. That's Luke also. Luke is the gospel where we see, as he points out, a string of scriptures concerning the prayer life of Jesus. And that's what we're going to do in this message, is just talk about those, and the very knowledge of them is so very enlightening. And it would be good for you to track them through the book of Luke in particular and cross-reference them. So it says, "And he continued all night in prayer before choosing the 12 disciples," in Luke 6, verse 12. So before making a very large decision, Jesus sought the Father for his wisdom when Jesus was on earth, and which 12 disciples were to be chosen. Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he, Christ, went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So Jesus prayed all night to the Father to rightly choose or to choose the right 12 apostles. He was alone praying before he asked his disciples an important question, and that would be Luke 9:18, which says, and it came to pass as he, Jesus, was alone praying. Notice Jesus was alone praying. His disciples were with him. Okay, so in this case, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? So he was alone praying before he asked his disciples an important question. Who do men say that I am, right? That's Luke 9:18. At his transfiguration, Jesus climbed the mountain to pray. To pray. Notice, same chapter, verse 28, Luke 9:28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. The actual transfiguration occurred while Jesus prayed. The next verse, verse 29, Luke 9, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. So he was praying just before he taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, in the 11th chapter, beginning in verse 1 of the book of Luke. In Gethsemane, he prayed more earnestly, Luke 22:44. On the cross, Jesus prayed for others, Luke 23:34. And his last words uttered before his death were a prayer, and that would be found in Luke 23:46, where we have on record Jesus saying, Father, he prayed to the Father, Father, into thy hands I commend, or I submit my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. So in his last breath, Jesus was praying to the Father. And the Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing. Right here in the book of Luke itself, in the 18th chapter, it says, men ought always to pray and not to faint, Luke 18:1. Also 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And again, prayer is your communion, your communication between you and God the Father. And it's through the name of Jesus Christ, John 14:13-14, where our Lord Jesus promises, he says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name or by my authority, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14:13-14. Amen. Very simple. The key is to be diligent, to seek the Lord in his strength, to seek his face continually. Notice continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11. So on the cross, Jesus prayed for others. Notice Luke 23:34, where it says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So Jesus was praying for all of us sinners while on the cross. There's a song that says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Amen. So his last words uttered before his death, where he died for the sins of the world, were a prayer. Luke also mentions that Jesus prayed after his resurrection, and that would be Luke 24. In verse 30, where we read the following, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, as Jesus sat down with his disciples, his apostles, he took bread. This is after he rose from the dead. It's his post-resurrection ministry where he appeared 40 or more times after he rose from the dead. So it says, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. Notice Jesus blessed the bread, or he prayed over the meal they were going to partake of. So in examining the life of Jesus in the other Gospels, we note also that he prayed before extending the invitation to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's Matthew 11:25-28, where we read in verse 25, I thank thee, Jesus answered and said, as he prayed to the Father, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. So there we see Jesus praying before he invites all to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Also, Matthew 14:23 says the following, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. There we see it again. Jesus went up into a mountain to do what? To be apart and to pray. Verbatim. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So Jesus was praying privately, as we've seen throughout the book of Luke and we've seen in the book of Mark. So notice the words to pray and alone in this verse, Matthew 14:23. While on earth, Jesus often sought time to be alone with the Father. Time alone with God is essential to the spiritual well-being of every believer. You know, that is absolutely a biblical truth right there, and it's just amazing how the modern day pastors are so busy telling you to, you know, go to the new members class, to join their church, to show up every Sunday, but little do they say, if anything, about denying yourself, taking up your cross daily and following Jesus, and that would be including praying without ceasing. That would be including that what Jesus said, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That was the gist of his parable in Luke 18, beginning in verse 1. But yet we hear so little from today's false prophets. Most of the people in ministry are absolutely false. And you can know that, and you can judge their fruit on this fact alone. They're not teaching you to walk with Jesus. They want your relationship with them as they build their church business, their own enterprise. They want you dependent on them. They want you thinking basically that you get your feeding from the Lord every Sunday morning, instead of, like true elders, getting you in the Word every day. Following Jesus is daily, or it's not at all. In fact, if you look up the word daily in the King James Bible, it's quite a study. It's a quick study that will change your life forever. Jesus said that following him is daily. That means if it's not daily, it's not following him. That means you're just treating Jesus like a second-class citizen, like he's a hobby to you, not your first love, you see. So we must continually remember that the lack of desire for solitary prayer to the Father is an unmistakable sign that the spiritual life within us is in a process of decline. Let me read that again. That was absolutely so true. Notice, we must continually remember that the lack of desire for solitary, in other words, private praying to the Heavenly Father, is an unmistakable sign that the spiritual life within us is in a process of decline. In other words, we're backslidden. We're lukewarm. Jesus is not our first love. If this is happening, we must turn from all that offends the Lord and renew our commitment to persevere in seeking God and His saving grace. That is from the Life in the Spirit Study Bible. And also Luke 18:1. Let's peer into Luke 18:1, where it says in verse 1, Luke 18, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, or for this chief purpose and for this chief cardinal understanding, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. That should be a verse that we memorize. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You see, friends, our life of prayer, our prayer life, is to our spiritual well-being what breathing is to our physical well-being. If you stop breathing, you die. If you stop praying, you spiritually will die. So men ought always to pray. And this says, Jesus was frequently concerned that his followers pray continually in order to accomplish God's will for their lives. And I would add, to stay in communion with God. Amen. From this parable of the widow who persevered, we learn several things. And that's number one, in this parable we learn we must persevere in prayer with regard to all matters until Jesus returns. Number two, in this life we have an adversary, that would be Satan, the devil, 1 Peter 5:8. Prayer can protect us from the evil one, Matthew 6:13. All right, number three, in our prayer, we should cry out against sin and for justice. Number four, persistent prayer is counted as faith. We will recall that in this parable in Luke 18:1 that the widow cried out with perseverance. And the last verse of the parable, verse 8, Luke 18:1-8, says, I tell you that he, God, will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Before that, he said, the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? So Luke 18:1-8, this parable is where Jesus teaches the importance of persevering in prayer. Okay, number five of the things that we learn here in this parable is that in the final days before Christ's return, there will be increased diabolical opposition to the prayers of the faithful. Because of Satan and the pleasures of the world, many will cease having a persistent life of prayer, which the Bible says is absolutely necessary in our lives after we're saved. Notice Matthew 26:41, as we come in for a close here, it says, watch and pray, Jesus said. Watch and pray. Be diligent, be vigilant, be on guard at all times, and pray. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Jesus makes it clear here in Matthew 26:41 that if you're not watching and praying, you will enter into temptation. We're all going to be tempted, but it's only the disciple who watches and prays, who prays without ceasing, that is going to have the power of God teeming in him to overcome the temptation to sin, and including the temptation to depart from the Lord. You show me a man that doesn't have a life of prayer, not just a prayer life, but if he's not living a life of prayer, I will show you a backslidden man. So he finishes by saying, because of Satan and the pleasures of the world, the sins of the flesh that we are enticed to partake of, many will cease having a persistent prayer life with Jesus, and they're going to fall away. You cannot sustain a life with Christ. You cannot endure to the end without praying, without ceasing. These aren't suggestions. This is the command and the instruction of God. And all who love God will walk obediently to the Word of God, which says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1, that we are to pray without ceasing. Heavenly Father, we ask you to quicken us, Lord, in the very depth of our being, and unite our hearts to fear thy name, Lord, that we would understand what we've read about today concerning your prayer life, Lord Jesus, and your command for us to pray, watch and pray, so that we don't enter into temptation. Your command to us to pray without ceasing. Your command to us to pray so that we do not faint. Quicken us in this matter, O God, and forgive our sins afresh, Lord, as each individual would repent, would turn back to you as the first love of their life, repenting of self-idolatry and spiritual adultery, and realize the vileness of these defiling sins, O God, where we've had other gods before you, and that would begin with ourself. Let there be repentance granted to each one listening who would go before you, Lord, and ask you to help them to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, including to live a life life of prayer. Prayer communion with you, Lord, to abide in vital union with you and thereby be about the Father's business, which is the Great Commission, and bear fruit, more fruit and much fruit in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.